Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 2090 with a release date of Friday, November 17th, 2017 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A court dismisses a defamation suit against the ARRL, a pioneer of software-defined radio dyes, and a special event station in India prepares to honor a 19th century father of wireless. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2090 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
In our top story, a federal appeals court has ruled in a defamation lawsuit filed against the ARRL. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has those details.
A U.S. district court has dismissed a defamation lawsuit filed against the American Radio Relay League by its former Eastern Pennsylvania section manager, Joseph Ames, W3JY. The suit was filed last year after an article appeared explaining his dismissal in June of 2016. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals, ruling on the 13th of November, found the ARRL's contention to be true that the Malvern, Pennsylvania amateur had improperly conducted disaster planning directly with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The ARRL said Joseph Ames had violated ARRL bylaws, which state that the league is responsible for its own representation with government agencies such as FEMA. The ARRL argued that the arrangement was thus unauthorized. According to the court papers, the three-judge panel found, quote, Ames treated NTS like a separate entity from ARRL by making decisions on policy issues, issuing press releases, doing government advocacy, and giving NTS volunteers the false impression that NTS is separate from the ARRL, end quote. Ames had been chairman of the ARRL National Traffic Systems Eastern Area when he was voted out by the executive committee. He had sued the ARRL and three of its officers. The NTS was created by the league in 1949. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The man behind the first FCC-certified software-defined radio has died. We hear more from Jim Damron, N8TMW.
The chief executive of the first company to be certified by the FCC for software-defined radio died suddenly in Massachusetts on November 11th. The death of software executive Vanu Bose was announced on the website of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where he was an alumnus and member of the MIT Corporation. Bose's company, Vanu Incorporated, uses technology he developed while a graduate student at MIT and now provides wireless infrastructure around the world. The company also used its technology for humanitarian causes, most recently assisting with communications in Puerto Rico following the devastating hurricane. In 2004, Bose's company made news when it won the first FCC approval of Vanu's software radio GSM base station, which was capable of being modified without changes to its hardware. It was heralded as a major advance in wireless communications. Vanu Incorporated was also the developer of cellular repeater stations capable of running on solar power, enabling communications in remote areas of the world, including developing countries. He was the son of the late Amar G. Bose, who was the founder of the Bose Corporation. Vanu Bose died of a pulmonary embolism. He was 52. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Damron, N8TMW.
Want a creative way to raise money for your club's needs? Squirrel away this idea as we hear from Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
What gets busy every fall collecting nuts with an eye towards saving for the future? If you answered squirrels, you'd be right, of course, but if you answered the Cleveland Amateur Radio Club, you'd be right too. The club recently completed its big annual fundraiser, the incredibly popular Nut Sale, considered its primary way to raise money outside of membership dues. The sale was launched several years ago by Edith Derrick, KG4BDQ, now a silent key, and her husband, Bill, KF4OZO, the club's treasurer, and it's become a family tradition in their honor, according to Buddy Kimsey, WA4NIV, who's been Nut Chairman for the past 2 years. Indeed, the 42 offerings seem as hard to resist as a flea market at a ham fest. Cashews, walnuts, chocolate-coated nuts, spicy and salty nuts, and the top seller, pecans. Enthusiasm builds right up into the weeks before Thanksgiving. Buddy said 630 bags were pre-sold and 108 extra bags were ordered, and the club is expecting a sellout. The nut money goes towards a good cause. The hams are looking to expand their existing clubhouse, an expense expected to run around $100,000. Meanwhile, business has been brisk, says Buddy, as both hams and non-hams have been placing their orders. Now, if only they can capture that squirrel market. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
In this next report, we present the latest in our occasional series, Nets of Note. Paul Brown, WD9-GCO, introduces us to a net, especially for fans of CW, and, of all things, old typewriters.
Hams, by and large, have a fascination with old gear. We spend hours and untold amounts of money restoring and using 70-year-old rigs. We wax rhapsodic about the warm glow of tubes. We converse in Morse code using World War II-era telegraph keys. So, we should easily identify with a group of people that love to write things on the word processing equivalent of a Heathkit DX100B, the manual typewriter. There is an HF net dedicated to just that, the Typochondriacs net. I recently spoke with Fred Byhold and V1N about the net.
Well, I was reading Richard Polt's website, and he wrote the book, The Typewriter Revolution. He's just really into manual typewriters. And I still had my manual typewriter from college, and I read about these gatherings all over the world where people get together at cafes and type on manual typewriters. I talked to a ham on the 40 meters on CW, and he said the only two items left from his original station were his manual typewriter and his telegraph key. So I thought, why not combine the two? I'm a traffic handler, and I always thought a radiogram looks best when it's typed up on a manual typewriter on an official radiogram form. Looks really smart. So I started this about 2 years ago. I haven't done much with it, but recently I picked up the ball again, and I'm looking for some ways to stir up some interest for this. I think it has two goals that it could achieve. It could be fun, and it could really serve a useful purpose.
The net meets on the third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on 7.045 megahertz. I asked Byhold about how the net would run.
To start with, just a little bit of rag chewing, not too much, and we'll go from there. Anybody can join. I mean, we might even provide services, you know, to people that don't care at all about manual typewriters, but the net will be tailored to serve the manual typewriter crowd.
So, if you feel like getting together with some fellow vintage gear junkies, the Typochondriacs net may be just for you. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
There are new voices and a new guiding hand at the ARRL's National Contest Journal, as we hear from Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
A new editorial team will be guiding the editorial content of the ARRL's National Contest Journal beginning with the January-February 2018 issue. Dr. Scott Wright, K0MD, an active contester and DXer from Rochester, Minnesota, will be taking over as editor. Scott will be joined by Fred Regeneider, K4IU, as deputy editor. All of the contributing editors will remain, and there will be several new ones. Amateur Radio Newsline's own Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, host of Ham Talk Live, will serve as the Next Gen Contesters contributing editor. Dr. John Thompson, K3MD, will serve as contributing editor for contest surveys, book reviews, and the past editor, Pat Barkey, N9RV, will remain doing periodic interviews and feature stories. Congratulations, everyone. For Amateur Radio Newsline in Aiken, South Carolina, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Greensboro Amateur Radio Association's W4GSO repeater in Greensboro, North Carolina, on Sunday evenings following the 8:30 p.m. net. As summer approaches in Australia, John Williams, VK4JJW, gives hams there a good reason to get out of the shack.
If you're in Australia, let nature be your radio shack on the weekend of November 25th and 26th. These 2 days mark VKFF Activation Weekend for the Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program. Amateurs are being encouraged to activate parks throughout VK land and sharpen their abilities to operate portable while drawing attention to the parks. Hams who want to activate one of the designated parks should email vk5pas@wia.org.au with all the specifics of the planned activation so your station can be included in the registry being compiled. According to the WWFF Australia website, calling CQ from a designated park can almost surely guarantee a pile-up. Parks should meet event criteria, however. For details on how to activate a park and for more info about registering, visit the website wwffaustralia.com. Most of the parks in the program area are national parks, but there are, of course, exceptions. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the Netherlands, the tally for new licensees is down, but officials are not discouraged, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Fewer new hams are getting on the air in the Netherlands. That's the latest report from the Netherlands Radio Examination Foundation, where the latest figures for applications and successful candidates for the novice and full licenses had both declined. The years compared were 2015 and 2017. According to Veron President Remy Denker, PA3AGF, who spoke at the Radio Amateur Day in Apeldoorn on the 4th of November, there were 322 new amateurs registered in the Netherlands in 2015, a figure that has declined now to 270 in 2017. Remy Demper kept his message upbeat, however, when he said that even small numbers of hams can do their part for large-scale promotion for Dutch amateur radio. He encouraged licensed radio amateurs to serve as goodwill ambassadors and share the hobby with friends and acquaintances. His advice, spread the word. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Guess what? Kids think Morse code is cool. Now there's a resource helping them to learn how to be Morse cool, and it's free, as we hear from Stefan Kinford, N8WB.
The successful CW Academy program run by the CW Operators Club has launched some new coursework aimed specifically at young radio amateurs. The club's online Morse code classes for young hams will be taught free to hams between the ages of 11 and 19 who live in the U.S. and Canada. Students who sign up will be grouped with other hams their age in their time zone and will be trained over Skype. The club will even try to find volunteers who live near the students' QTH to assist them with rig antenna setup where needed. This is a pilot program, but the club is very optimistic. Carl Davis, W8WZ, told Amateur Radio Newsline in an email that the club has discovered that lots of young amateurs enjoy CW and embrace it as if they were learning a second language or a musical instrument. Carl said that he conducted a code demonstration at a recent scouting jamboree on the air, and the youngsters showed tremendous enthusiasm for something that didn't involve keyboards and screens for a change. That is the success they hope for with this CW Academy. Registration begins the 15th of November and runs through the 15th of December. Classes begin in January. To register, send an email to k6rb58@gmail.com and include your first and last name, call sign, license class, age, time zone, email address, and phone number. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stefan Kinford, N8WB.
A special event station is about to get on the air in India, honoring a 19th century scientist who played a major role in wireless. Here's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Born the 30th of November in 1858, Bengali physicist Jagadish Chandra Bose would no doubt appreciate this special event station. Tata VU2 DSI will be on the air using the call sign AU2JCB from the 23rd of November to the 11th of December, marking the anniversary of the birth of the scientist considered by many around the world to be the father of wireless. The 19th century innovator's many accomplishments include development of galena crystals for making radio receivers and the discovery of 1 centimeter to 5 millimeter radio waves, such as those used in satellites and radars. His demonstration of wireless radio in 1895 predates the more publicly recognized one credited to Italy's Guglielmo Marconi, whose demonstration came 2 years later. Honouring India's scientists, Tata will operate on both the HF bands as well as an FM mode on 6 metres and 10 metres. Send QSL cards directly to VU2 DSI. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
There's more room for more QSOs on the bands. Hams in Argentina have something to celebrate. Local communications authorities have granted new privileges on the bands on 630 meters and 60 meters, and extending existing allocations on 160 meters, 80 meters, and 30 meters. Radio Club Argentino made the announcement following final approval and said the changes will be effective in February 2018. In Colombia, hams are getting access to part of the band on 2200 meters, 630 meters, and 60 meters. The announcement was made this month by the Colombian Radio Society, a member of the IARU. In the world of DX, be listening for Argentinian DXers on San Andres Island in the Caribbean, operating through the 26th of November as 5K0T. The IOTA reference for San Andres is NA-033. Send QSLs to LU1FM. Herald DF2WO is in Rwanda through the end of November, operating with the call sign 9X2AW. Listen for him on CW, sideband, and ready. QSL manager is M0OXO. George DK7LX is in Bermuda through the 21st of November, operating holiday style as VP9/DK7LX. You can listen for him on 40 through 15 meters, operating CW only, and QSL via Club Log OQRS. We close this week with a tale of weather balloons released in an Indiana football field. Two balloons with two missions. Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, shares that story.
In the eyes of 20 high school seniors from Indiana's Hobart High School, few things could have flown higher in those few moments of launch than Genesis and Exodus, the weather balloons that lifted off November 9th from the school's football field. The engineering and design seniors were led by teacher Brent Vermeulen, who had secured about $3,000 in grants to make the launch happen. Each helium-filled balloon had a GoPro camera and a 360-degree HD camera to record its flight, plus an antenna enabling tracking by two local hams. Exodus lived up to its name, traveling 240 miles before ending up in a cornfield near Huron, Ohio. Genesis made it as far as Napoleon, Ohio, completing a trip of about 162 miles before landing in a farmer's field there. Much more was on board, however, than just recording and radio equipment. Jackie Fitzgerald of Hobart had been on the sidelines watching it all. This year, her brother, Marvin Betcher, WV9O, could not be there for one of his favorite annual events. The Hobart Amateur, a 1967 graduate of the school, became a silent key in March. Jackie had made a donation in her brother's memory to help the flight, and these words covered the payload of Genesis, in loving memory of Marvin Betcher. She watched the students and their balloons, and in her eyes, too, few things could have flown higher on that bright morning. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, the Chicago Tribune, the CQ Magazine, the CW Operators Club, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Law 360, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, the U.S. Court of Appeals, Worldwide Flora and Fauna, WTWW Shortwave, and your listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline. Line's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017, all rights reserved.